88.5 FM, Jeff Penfield, joined live by Vampire Weekend's own Ezra Koenig. Father of the Bride just announced a new album yesterday on Thursday.
That's right.
And we finally have our first song in a little while, Harmony Hall. Thank you so much for taking some time out today.
No problem.
So I have to ask this. It's been 6 years.
That's right.
Barack Obama had just started his second term at that point as president.
Yeah.
That was the last time we got a full new album from Vampire Weekend. So, I guess the big question is, you know, what were you working on during that time? Were you focusing on this album and putting all your efforts into that? Like, what caused such a big span between releasing new music?
Well, I definitely wasn't working on the album for 6 years. I mean, it's funny the way that time just breezes by, because, you know, like, the last album came out in 2013. By the time you're done touring and all that stuff, it's almost 2015. So, you know, then I took a year to chill. I wanted to just, like, take my mind away from music, and I made this cartoon with Jaden Smith for Netflix called Neo Yokio, and that was, like, some totally weirdo alternate universe stuff. And it was nice to take a break. And then I kind of slowly started getting back into music, and the main producer I worked with on this album is Ariel Rechscheid, who co-produced the last one, and I was kind of waiting for him to wrap up a project. So I did kind of take my... It took a minute to really click in where I was ready and he was ready, and we could fully get into a full-time working mode. And then by that time, we start working, and now then a couple of years go by and kind of gets us up to date. So, you know, it's just like, I look back and it's hard for me to believe it's been that long, but it's true.
So things just kind of kept going. Because, you know, I've done other interviews with folks like Fleet Foxes, Robin Becknold. He took, I think he was 5 years
between
releases.
Yeah, that sounds right, yeah.
So, you know, sometimes it's just you have other things and other interests. Like you said, you worked on that Netflix show.
Mm-hmm.
So was it just a chance to kind of clear your mind to start writing new songs? You feel like that was helpful for you?
Yeah, totally. Especially because, I don't know, with Vampire Weekend, every album, we really think so much in terms of, like, the album unit. You know, like, we try to tell a story. Each album to me is a chapter of the story. So, you know, you have to be ready to tell the next chapter. And in a funny way, you know, we really got the second album out quickly because there's so much pressure, you know. It can be really nerve-wracking when you just started out. But truthfully, 2 years is such a short turnaround time for albums, because at least one year vanishes for promoting the first one. And then to immediately feel like you have something to say and you can bang out an album in 9 months and get it out, I don't know, if it's hard for me to think that's barely even like a unit of time. Whereas I can say, looking back, even though I know 5-6 years seems like a lot of time, at least that's like an era. You know, when I look back on my life, I think roughly in like 5 year spans, maybe 4 years for high school or something. But, you know, like you asked me like the difference between 25 to 27, 27 to 29. I don't immediately have an answer. I'd have to like go do some research. But 5 years, 25 to 30, okay, I can wrap my head around that.
And in terms of over that time, we know Rostam is no longer officially with the band. I know he's still working with you.
He worked on the album and plenty other stuff.
But, you know, has there been any other changes to the band since the last one as well?
Well, there has and there hasn't. Like, it's, well, you know, in some ways, like, the live band now is a 7-piece, so that's pretty different. Although it feels so natural for us. It's kind of like a lot of even the old songs needed a few extra players. So it's kind of, in some ways, it's kind of how it always maybe should have been or where it was heading. So we have more people on stage. And then in the studio, we always had a very kind of open-minded approach to how we worked, whether we started a song, you know, live together, or more often than not, Rostam and I would start all sorts of songs literally just like a beat. What, you know, the modern way of making music, whether you call that pop or hip-hop, whatever. So there are a lot more guests on this record in terms of, you know, there's Rostam and Ariel, so a lot of familiar producers, but then we got some new people, DJ Dahi, Steve Lacey, Blood Pop, and then there's some guests for the first time, some of whom I think should be a surprise. But yeah, it's kind of I'm kind of doing what I always do in terms of songwriting and lyrics and ideas, but there are like a few more people coming through the door, but it feels really natural. It's still like a kind of community of people. Nobody too far flung, you know, like no strangers.
Yeah. It's people that feel like they're right to bring in and right to be part of the Vampire Weekend family.
Yeah, because it's funny now that, you know, when you talk to people about music, there used to be, it used to seem like this big distinction. If you're a pop artist, you might have 12 producers on a record and 30 songwriters. And that seemed like that's what happens in pop. And then a rock band, people pictured, that's four people just putting their heads together in a studio. And both of those were always a little bit not entirely true, but that was maybe the stereotype. Whereas now, all music is kind of somewhere in between. And the way I think about it is, like, I'm totally open to have different people involved. My one kind of rule, though, is they kind of have to really just be part of the family. And, they, you know, they could be, maybe they're a stranger at first, but there's almost nobody who worked on the album who's not on at least a few songs. You know what I mean? It's like, that just would feel too funny to me. So
it wasn't just like someone featuring this and they're on that one song and that's it. They had a little involvement in a few different parts of the album.
Yeah, because I kind of feel like if somebody's worth bringing into your universe, like, you know, really extend the invitation. Like, with all the people I listed, I've made all sorts of demos and started songs with them and stuff. So, you know, even though the core team maybe is mostly still me and Ariel, yeah, the other people are totally part of the universe of the album, and they're kind of spread out, and they're, you know, they're almost like characters in the whole. Everybody kind of plays a role. So yeah, that's the one. I'll love to open the door, but I just don't like that vibe of, like, because, you know, there are songs that get. I've been part of songs where, you know, I never even met the person who worked on it, but that's what I like. I like that sense of community, you know.
Yeah, and that's important. You need to feel comfortable in the studio and being able to let your voice be heard and let yourself feel comfortable in introducing new ideas and introducing your music to whoever's in there. They need to be. You need to be able to accept them, and then also be like, I feel like they can accept some of the ideas I'm putting out there.
Totally, and it's not always, and we kind of get the best of both worlds too, and that's one thing I like about Ariel, is that he's very familiar with the Vampire Weekend world, having worked on the last album. And he's also a guy, he's done songs for Adele, you know, Blood Orange, Haim. He's a very versatile guy. So sometimes I might start something with one person, like Blood Pop, and we really have something cool. But then, you know, maybe Blood Pop is like, you know what, let Ariel finish it, because they have kind of complementary visions. And it almost always worked, you know, that we could sometimes bring in different producers to kind of start something with somebody, finish it with somebody else. Maybe it starts one way and then somebody has a new idea. So yeah, it's really fun to do it that way.
Yeah. And we have our first song. We have Harmony Hall now.
Mm.
That song is just, there's so much in there.
Yeah.
It's a 5 minute song, but it's one of those 5 minute songs that doesn't feel like it's 5 minutes.
Oh,
it almost seems to have
its, good. That's what I hoped.
Yeah. It has these different movements. How did that come together?
Well, a song like that can only really come together over years, is the truth. And there's this part in the middle that is kind of like, we call it just the piano breakdown, because it's two pianos. There's one I recorded on an iPhone at my apartment in New York, and then there's this kind of Baroque piano part going bum bum. That maybe has a little bit of early Vampire Weekend energy, whatever. Da 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 da, like that kind of vibe. And that's really the original thing. That's kind of the first thing that I wrote. I had some lyrics and I had this idea. And then over the course of time, I started to, and even the band tried playing it like that before. And it just felt a little like uptight. I mean, I like it as a moment, but it didn't feel like a whole song. And then I started playing the piano chords more like, you know, in a house style. And then that was like a new thing. And I was like, that could be cool, the A-B thing. But then it took a couple of years until one day I was like, you know, messing around with the guitar. And I wrote the guitar riff, bum, ba, ba, da, 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 da. And even then, I didn't think, oh, I should pair that with that. And that's what happens a lot, is that then I'm finally sitting down, I'm in the room with Ariel. We're going through the Baroque part, we're going through the house part, and we're like, what kind of thing are we missing? We're like, well, we kind of don't really have a verse. And then we're messing, you know, messing around with chords. And then suddenly I remember, oh, yeah, what do you think of this guitar riff? And he's like, that's great. And so I put that in the key. And then suddenly, you know, years after the very first thing, it clicks in, and it's like, oh, this is kind of a song.
So does it usually start with music and then you get to lyrics, or are there any times where it's the flip, side where you have lyrics already written out?
There's always stuff gestating. I mean, you know, there's been plenty of songs over the years you know, especially on the last album, maybe Rostam plays a piece of music and I write right on top of it. So just truly like music plus melody and lyrics. Now we have the song. Other times when I'm working, you know, it's like a lot of songwriters in like the notes on my phone, I'm always just writing down words and phrases. So sometimes it doesn't just burst into your head. Sometimes it can be that lucky coincidence that you have something you like and you're like, what could this be about? And you have a feeling and you start scrolling through and then you see a word or a phrase or a line and then suddenly it starts to come together. So I'm always taking notes of musical ideas and lyrical ideas. And then if you're incredibly lucky, they just come together. And, you know, that those are those magic moments where something just comes together in 5 minutes and that's that.
Yeah.
But you can't just wait forever for that.
Exactly. And you know, you have to chip away at it, and it clearly yep. you have on this one. And double album as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of calling it a double album. I don't know. Today, I don't even know what people call that, an 18-song album.
Well, it's totally changed, because a lot of times it's about, when is your next song coming out? When is your next song coming out? And
right.
In your case, you're like, pull back. Let's make this a full and complete project.
Oh, yeah. It is funny, you know, because it's not like, you know, it's not like I'm out in the woods or anything. I'm keeping up with the modern world in my day-to-day life. But even starting to get back into the album mode, I've had a few Rip Van Winkle moments where they told me I had you know, an interview the next day, and I was like, all right. And I'm used to waking up, if I have a phone interview, you know, you wake up like 10 minutes before, have a coffee and you know, walk around in your boxers and talk to the person. And then I kind of half wake up and I look at the thing and it's like FaceTime interview.
Well, you could still do that in your boxers. You just don't show them from, you know, the head down.
Yeah, but then I feel like I gotta take a shower and all this. And then I was like, oh my God, FaceTime interview. And I'm just like, you know, for me, I FaceTime with a very small crew of people, very close friends
yes.
and family. So I was like, oh boy. And then I was like, wait. And then I started talking to people. I was like, this is normal
and
now?
And were you in your house too?
Yes, and then I had to find a corner of the house where mm-hmm. I wasn't giving away too much personal information about our decor. You know, yeah. So I was like, so yeah, there's definitely, and of course, you know, with streaming, so many things have changed. But I'd like to think, and sometimes when people tell me about some of these stuff, like, well, you know, the streaming strategy, you know, different content platforms, my eyes glaze over a little bit, I'd like to believe. And I think this is the case, that if you make a true album, your fans will be into it, and so will other people. And it doesn't matter if you call it a double album, single album, if it's streaming or on vinyl. That's one thing that I've... Because, you know, think about when we came out. Like, we got signed in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
People were saying that that essentially all the record business was going to like change like it never had before. So many people were saying, don't sign to a label. Are you crazy? Don't sign to a label. And we were like, well, you know, we've done a lot without a label, but you know, these guys seem pretty cool. And everybody we like is on a label, but there was so much energy, you know, people were like, no, everything's changing. And of course a lot did change. I'm not denying that, but people sometimes overestimated how much stuff changed. And I remember a lot of people also being like, there's not going to be albums in 5 years. People don't care about albums. It's that now we have the internet. You could just post a song a month for 12 months, and that's the album. And I just remember at the time being like, well, that sucks, because I'm not interested in that. But people really made it like that's what's happening. And now 10 years later, I don't care what genre you're in. Of course, you have SoundCloud and singles. It's the way it's always been. There's different ways to release music. But, you know, I don't care if you're into trap, pop, rock, classical, whatever, the album format still means something to people. So I do think sometimes there's like this hysteria about how much things are changing, and the platforms are changing, and the business is changing, and yet some of these really old ideas, like putting a group of songs together and calling it an album, actually have more legs than people thought 10 years ago. So there's a part of me that's like, I kind of just like can't worry about the new stuff.
Hallelujah. It's still important out there, and it's still important to have something to go out on the road and have something that people, you know, there's still the second side of, you know, there's still that idea of like, this is a period of time. This is your opportunity to show where I am at this particular moment in time.
Yeah.
You can't do that in 3 minutes. That just is one small little section, not a big overview of what you're trying to say in that very, very moment. Because totally. you need at least 35, if not 40, 45 minutes to really dig in and really go into a lot of different places.
And there's totally people who want to take the time to dig into it, because that's another thing people say a lot, is that nobody has an attention span anymore. And I was like, just these generalizations don't always apply to everybody. That's also a funny thing, is like, you know, people talk about like nobody has an attention span anymore. And it's like, you know, I saw like 40,000 people at a Dead show last summer watching them jam. And I was like, those people have a pretty long attention span. And of course, that's a very unique culture, a unique fan base. But I just have this feeling too, like people, you kind of just can't underestimate people. And you also just have to know who your own fans are. Like our fans, I found, are very sophisticated, very into albums. They're into the whole process. They're into the campaign. They're like, enjoy the back and forth that happened. You know, we've only been at this for a week now. And even that, we've already had so much back and forth with fans trying to guess the name and looking at the imagery and stuff. And I know that this core crew who's been with us for a long time, they're going to love the album and spending time with it and digging into the album. And if you tell me that somewhere else there's, you could probably give me an example of 1,000 people who would never have an interest in an 18-song Van Paroeken album. It's like, yeah, I know. Those aren't our fans, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Well, we excited for all the new music on the way. Harmony Hall is the new song. Great new song.
Thank you.
Father of the Bride is the name of the album. Ezra Koenig of Vampire Weekend, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
It's 88.5 FM.